I'm glad that you're here for today's conversation, because today's conversation is really for those who grew up as the good child. And I really put this in like air quotes. I've experienced this in my own life, and so many of my coaching clients have as well. And I hear it and I see it, and it's what drives our need to perform. But typically, the good child is really, it's the one who followed the rules or tried to stay out of trouble. You feel like you didn't ask for much, yet despite being good, you might have felt neglected or overlooked. I often see this with when there's another sibling that maybe needed more attention. That doesn't necessarily mean right or wrong. It could just mean that that sibling needed attention for, you know, autistic reasons or things like that, right? Or it could mean that the sibling got into drugs and alcohol and just took a different path. Either way, a lot of my coaching clients have felt this neglect because they were the quote unquote good child. They didn't really have many needs. And believing that they didn't have many needs, as an adult, they now find themselves constantly seeking for approval, validation. And we're going to kind of explore why that happens and how it connects to your past. But most importantly, I'm just going to touch on breaking free from that and really looking at it again, because you know I like to do this for my biblical clinical and sharing some practical things in there as well. But most importantly, if you have been the good child, I want you to know I get it and I hear you. And I want you to know that this is a normal feeling to have whenever you're an adult and you're trying to win the approval of somebody else. It's because for most of your life, you felt neglected or like your needs didn't matter. And I just want you to know that your needs do matter. And I often see this in my coaching clients where they don't know what they need. They don't know what they want because for so long, their needs were pushed aside and kind of brushed under the rug. And I know as parents, we're always, you know, you're trying to do the best that you can. And it's nothing against parents. It's just, this is what it is. And we have to work through whatever comes our way, right? And so if you are somebody though that doesn't really know where to start, if you are trying to figure this out on your own and working through these negative thought patterns and wanting to feel like you have a plan moving forward, if you've done therapy, if you've done counseling, but you just need somebody to hold you accountable, to give you homework assignments, I like to say, and really help take what you've already know or maybe need to learn to get unstuck and create that plan of where you need to go. You can book a free consultation with me. It's a 20-minute consult. You can go to jessicahuddle.com/mental health coaching. But wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can also head to the show notes and you're going to see a link that is easy to click. So that way you don't have to memorize any links, but go to the show notes, click, book a free 20-minute consultation with me, especially if you're stuck, if you're feeling unmotivated, unsure of where to go, feel like you want a plan, and just need somebody to come alongside you that is unbiased, especially if you've already worked through therapy and counseling. Okay, let's start talking about this. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. When I was young, I realized that my brother dealt with pain a lot differently than I did. Now, I guess you could say I didn't really realize that until I was an adult, of how my brother tended to his pain and how I did. I wanted to escape the house and, you know, find love outside of the house with men and all of that. But my brother, he turned to drugs and alcohol. I would say first it started probably with cigarettes and then smoking weed, and I think went to alcohol. I can't remember the order, but I mean, I remember being exposed to pornography probably 10, 11, 12 years old. He would watch it in the living room. Probably, I think, when my parents weren't home, and I think we were home a lot, probably by ourselves, but you know, he would watch it with his friends, and it wasn't anything for me to just kind of walk by. And we, you know, he knew where my dad had his videos and things like that. And so I didn't want to ever become that, because I saw what had happened. I saw what my brother went through. I saw that life. And I kind of wanted to go the opposite way. I mean, I turned to men, but I really just wanted to go the opposite way. And this kind of led me to being the good child. Now, I wasn't always perfect, and I definitely rebelled in my own ways for that response. I wasn't obviously this picture perfect kid. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is I was the good child. And then when it came to certain things, I was quickly labeled as bad. And then it hurt me, because then I wasn't believed. And it was the cycle of, you know, my brother got to do the things. He got to go on the school field trips. He got to get his license when he was 16. He had his car, even if it was a hand-me-down, he had the things. But, you know, we're only about a year and so many months apart, and I didn't get to experience those things. I didn't get my license until I was 18. And the only way I got my license was through my good friend at the time, who her uncle would take me out driving. Her family really took me in. And I was able to pass the test and get my license. And, you know, I got my first car, and it wasn't the help of, you know, my parents and all these things of the good child syndrome, that neglect, that unfairness that I felt, right? Of what about me? I see it in my coaching clients. I had a session with one of my coaching clients this morning, and we were talking through this, of the things that she's experienced in her life relating to a sibling of hers, of watching it be in the news and watching things happen and unfold and feeling this disappointment and neglect that she did the right things, but is still heartbroken and feels that resentment toward her brother and toward, you know, her parents. And she's working through this. And I'm sure you're here because you're working through it too. So what is this neglect of being a good child? And it's really this neglect, not in the sense of like abuse or abandonment, but more so that emotional neglect. And it's not that you were causing problems, right? Because there's a chance that you just were like, I'm fine. And other people assumed you were fine. You were just kind of playing that identity out, that character out. And sometimes we even see this, I think, of the scripture with the prodigal son, where we love to relate to the prodigal son coming home and after going out and taking his dad's money, which was a very big insult to ask for your inheritance while your dad was alive. It was almost like you were saying, I wish you were dead. But we are often the son that's at home, working, tending, being the quote unquote good child. And we see the bad child get celebrated, honored, and we feel overlooked. So oftentimes we look at ourselves in the prodigal son story of Luke 15 and think we are the one coming home to Jesus. But really, I think most of us, if we're honest, we're the son that stayed home, the good one. And we have grown resentful and bitter. If we look at this from a clinical perspective, when we are emotionally neglected, it's just that we're, our emotional needs, they weren't adequately met in childhood. Because when you're always the responsible one, you might not have received the same level of attention or validation or emotional support. And this is where, like, over time, those feelings of worthiness, you can start to really seek that in external, right? You're no longer really feeling it inside because you've always tried to get the approval of somebody else to kind of fill that void that you felt. And then again, as I say, as adults, many, when we have this kind of good child struggle and feeling, is that's when we find ourselves in that constant cycle of approval seeking. I did an episode on people pleasing, and I had so many people just great feedback of like, yes, that is me, because I wasn't addressing just the normal, you know, people pleasing conversation. There's a lot of things behind why we approval seek. Different things that can be, I should say. And maybe you're somebody that always says yes to requests, that goes above and beyond in relationships, and you're just always feeling anxious if somebody is displeased with you. We're looking at this even from a biblical perspective. When we're seeking the approvals from others instead of God, it's something that we're warned about. In Galatians 1:10, Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know, Paul is addressing obviously heavy things, and he's aware that if he were just to say what makes us feel good, we would not have his approval. Like, people would not be like, oh yes, all these good things and challenging my flesh. So he had a pledge his allegiance to God and recognize that, okay, who am I trying to make happy? Who am I trying to be obedient to, people or to God? We're looking at this from a clinical perspective. We often know that that need for approval is rooted in childhood. You know, as the good child, you kind of internalize this belief that you are only valued by your actions, meaning like what you do for others, how well you perform, how much you sacrifice. And psychologists will call this a conditional sense of worth, where everything hinges on external validation rather than just kind of like that stable sense of like, you know and believe who you are in Christ. So I just want you to take a moment and just think about those areas that you're seeking approval. Do you struggle to say no? Do you feel crushed when someone is unhappy with you? This is a big one, friends. We often talk about, you know, the struggle to say no and setting boundaries, but we also have to ask, like, am I upset and feel completely distraught when somebody's unhappy with me? This can go even into attachment theory and anxious feeling, you know, according to attachment style of, oh my gosh, someone's unhappy. How do I make them happy? I don't like that. I gotta make sure they approve of me. So just write that down. What are you saying to yourself? What is it that you're trying to gain? Whose opinions or approval? And just really begin to pay attention to those patterns. And so when we're working through this, it's really about the understanding of the baseline is not only knowing, because I'll have a lot of my coaching clients say, I know that God does love me. I know that I have value in him. But then I ask, but do you believe that you have value? Do you believe the things that you know? Like, so as a good child, you might have learned that your value comes from being responsible, helpful, and obedient. But the truth is, your worth is inherent because you are a child of God. When we look at it through the eyes of Scripture, God sees you not based on your performance, right? It's not because of anything that you've done. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I think that is so important, so that no one can boast, because we know, as we even see the disciples fighting about who is the best, God knew that if it was on us, we would be bragging. We would be saying, look how good we are. But no, he says, this is a gift so that nobody can boast. So that means that we don't work our way in. We don't work our way to worth. We don't work our way into love, that this is something we have to believe and receive. And I know there's a lot of things that kind of come from this as far as perspectives and how you were taught love, how you were raised. I get that. I get it. But we don't have to earn God's love. And this is our foundation of going back to that. And that might even trigger you to think about that. Of, okay, sure, I know God's supposed to love me, but why did this happen? And I get that. And maybe you need me to come alongside and work through some of those beliefs that you have. So don't forget, you can book a free 20-minute coaching consultation with me. We can talk about this, come up with a plan together. Go to jessicahuddle.com/mental health coaching, or go right to where you're listening right now. Click on the link in the show notes and book a consultation. Now, when we're talking about healing from emotional neglect, this comes from recognizing, I think, and grieving the lack of support, emotional support that you didn't receive. Because sometimes we push through, we just keep going, And it requires us to nurture ourselves in a way that we weren't nurtured. And this really, again, comes from, do we allow God to tend to our pain? Isaiah 49:15-16, it shares that even if we've been forgotten by others, God never forgets us. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. God's love is personal and it's attentive. He sees you fully, even when others may not. If we're looking at this from a clinical perspective, we might say that healing from emotional neglect will require reparenting yourself, learning emotional regulation, relearning love that you may not have received in childhood. It's going to take time. So as you're working through the exercise of the areas of what you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is where I'm seeking approval, take a moment then to think about, how am I talking to myself? What am I saying? Especially when you feel like you're not meeting other people's expectations. Are you harsh or critical? I want you to think about in those moments. And what do you need? Now, as we wrap up today, I want us to just think about a couple things that can break us free from this approval-seeking kind of behavior. Setting boundaries. I have a whole biblical study coming out on this, and I am so excited about this. If you love biblical studies, you want to go to my shop, jessicahuddle.com/shop. And I have a biblical study on forgiveness and stress and anxiety and anger. And I'm going to be having one on boundaries because it's important. And this is how we do it. And we remember that boundaries are biblical. And we often struggle with it because we're afraid of disappointing others. And there's a lot of other reasons there, but Jesus set boundaries and we see that. He made sure he rested, spent time with the Father. So we need to start practicing saying no. But I know that can make you even cringe right now. And I get it. The second thing is practicing receiving without guilt. This is actually something some of my clients will be challenged to do in their homework assignment, is just receiving what people have for them. Not making it an ulterior motive, not trying to plan what they're going to do back for them. And this is also something I work through with the women at my church, of we need to get better at receiving, not just the one that gives. So whether it's from our husband, a spouse, the friend, a family member, a stranger, not just brushing it off. So if you're somebody that's used to giving and serving, it can be uncomfortable. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above. So when we practice allowing ourselves to receive from others and from God, knowing that we don't have to earn it, the next thing is reconnecting with your emotional needs. Sometimes we have neglected who we are, what we feel for so long that we don't even know what's going on inside of us. And that's where I would really come in as a mental health coach and trauma-informed coach to kind of help you bridge that gap and connect what you're feeling or maybe not understanding what you're feeling with what's happening in your body and those thought patterns. But it's time to like take the time to ask yourself, what do you need? What does this even look like? And how can you nurture your emotional and spiritual health? Rest, prayer, saying no, less like getting rid of responsibilities that you know are optional, and giving permission to prioritize your well-being and making your family a priority, not draining yourself and exhausting yourself. Because, you know, if you've spent your life as the good child and you find yourself seeking approval, I just want you to know that your worth isn't defined in what you do for others. It's really rooted in who you are in Christ. And I know we hear that phrase so much, but let's not it become just noise to our ears. So we start to break free with boundaries, practice receiving without guilt, reconnecting to our emotional needs. And you don't have to earn this. You don't have to earn God's love or anyone else's approval. If we've learned this, right, throughout our life, guess what? We can unlearn it. And the most important thing is you don't have to do it alone. I'd love to come alongside you. I have kind of a couple different things that you can do if you want to get started right now, but maybe your funds are limited. You can always get a biblical study. You can go to jessicahuddle.com/shop. You can always get my program that's self-paced. That is Untangle Your Thoughts. And you can go to jessicahuddle.com/heal or work with me one-on-one as your mental health coach. Again, all of these links are going to be in the show notes. So take the time, see where you are, see what you need, and invest in yourself and just say, I am done being stuck and thinking the same thought pattern. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.